agenda item 1119, Northwest Institute Student Projects.
Oh, that's me. All right. The Northwest Institute educates a new generation of journalists and conscious raising artists who seek to bring positive changes to their communities. Each summer, the Northwest Institute hosts a dozen college students for an intensive 8-week session. Students attend media study classes, work with professionals to produce media projects, and attend professional development workshops with the long-term goal of helping to build a strong democratic community that is representative of all voices. They're going to give us a presentation of their presentations in the making, and I'm on the board of directors of this great organization.
Thanks, Sam. Good morning. I'm Phil Bussey. I'm the executive director for the Northwest Institute for Social Change. Every summer we bring out a dozen college students from across the country and bring them to Portland to use Portland as a laboratory. And this year, the students have focused on audio and video documentaries about solutions that Portland has to larger issues. So we worked with OPB's April Bear, and students made audio documentaries about the Sun Schools and closing the achievement gap. And students also did audio documentaries about chicken coops in the backyard, which are prevalent around town, including Sam's backyard.
And as chickens are not involved with the making of this documentary.
I wish you hadn't mentioned that, by the way, because between you and Adams, I now have a 4-year-old that wants a chicken coop in our backyard.
You should give your 4-year-old.
That prohibits it,
you
but I
should give your 4-year-old.
And it's and the students made the documentaries. It's not only a great pet Nick, but it's a good solution for a local production of food. So the students they today are going to show two documentaries, both which are relevant to issues that city council has been working with. The first is with Milepost 5 and the idea of affordable housing for artists, and then introduce his film, Will Bangs.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you so much for taking time to meet with us. My name is Will Bangs, and I'm from the other Portland in Maine. It's great to be here. I also go to Hampshire College in Massachusetts, and I've had an amazing time while I've been here in Portland. The city has a great reputation that has certainly lived up to that while I've been here. I've had a great time with the program. I had a great homestay with somebody you might know, Paul Van Orden. I've had lots of fun at events like Third Thursday. I've heard great music on Mississippi Street. And really, for me, and I think for a lot of people, artists and arts are what make a city really exciting. And Portland seems to be the latest in a long story. Greenwich Village in New York City, San Francisco, Haight-Ashbury. But from there, the story seems to unfold in the same way. The very people, artists who make the city interesting, struggle to afford to find affordable places to live in the places where they made interesting arts and cultural scenes. And it's clear that arts and culture are very important to people here in Portland. Based on a 2005 public opinion poll, 89% of voters believe that arts and culture are important to the growth of the community. 72% of Portlanders attend an arts and culture event at least once every few months. And 95% believe that arts education is vital to the future success of our children. So our piece that we're about to show is about how we can continue to support the arts and culture scene here in Portland. And we believe that it starts with building a strong infrastructure to keep artists here and to keep them from being priced out. Our film is about affordable live and workspace for artists here in Portland. Thank you so much for your time.
Eccentric art scene has revitalized some of its most neglected neighborhoods and brings the city $318 million every year. In the next 10 years, the city's population is expected to double, but the artists who made the city hip are slowly being priced out of the affordable housing that drew them here. And Portland artist T.J. Norris knows this struggle firsthand. His income hovers around the poverty level, and he has seen housing prices drive fellow artists out of the city.
Most artists are, in general, a little bit transient. And part of that is because of their income. Artists are probably in one of the lowest income brackets. So they're working really, really, really hard. And then when they're not working their day job, then they're working in the studio, there's not much time to actually be out there advocating.
A few years ago, the Pearl District in Portland's Northwest Quadrant was filled with old industrial warehouses where artists cheaply lived, squatted, and worked. Art galleries began hosting a First Thursday gallery hop with open houses and eclectic events. But as the neighborhood grew in popularity, developers rushed in, threw in high-priced lofts, and the majority of artists were priced out.
I think that the Pearl is a phenomenon as far as new communities within major cities in the United States. I would also say that that is one area that is an example of where artists have been pushed out visibly.
In spite of gentrification and other setbacks, artists stick around because they want to contribute to Portland's culture.
You know, basically what we're here to do on one level is to entertain, on another level is to educate, and on another level, you know, we're here to sort of make you think and make you question and make you look at culture on a different plane, because culture is built from backgrounds and culture is built from histories. And that's what goes into the making of our work.
I think one of the great things about the arts is that it gives you a tool to talk about experiences, to talk about history, and all of the difficult issues that confront us, and as well as giving us opportunities that we didn't see, that we didn't know existed. And so for me, the arts can really be a vehicle to promote change within our community.
And when it comes down to it, the city of Portland doesn't have enough resources to stem the displacement of artists.
Portland lacks woefully behind in its per capita funding for the arts. We are about $2.41 per person, but if you head north to Seattle, they're around $7.52. If you go further to Denver, they're at $15.62. So we have to acknowledge that that really represents that we have work to do around that issue.
Until the city is able to increase its financial support of the arts, Milepost 5, a privately funded housing development, offers a potential solution. Private developers have started to turn a rundown nursing home into over 100 rent-controlled live-and-work units for emerging artists.
What we're attempting to do is be able to create all of these different types of live-work opportunities. Creating live-work space and resources for artists in a economic and creative sanctuary. In other words, a place where artists will never get priced out of these facilities. This is really an experiment. We are testing the waters. We know it's a long process to be able to accomplish our goals here at Milepost 5. But our goal is to be successful here and then do this two or three more times around the city.
It may not be the end-all solution to keep artists in Portland and to keep Portland weird, but Milepost 5 could become a unique model for sustainable arts communities across the country.
82nd Street is famous for maybe three things. Porno, pawn shops, and Asian grocery stores.
Well, the project is moving ahead. There's a lot of surprises that have occurred to us while we are going through this process. So, we originally expected lines around the block three times for these units, and for one reason or another, you know, that didn't happen. I think part of it is its location. You know, if we had to buy that that space closer to downtown, it would be a lot more expensive.
But while it may not be the end-all solution to keep artists in Portland and to keep Portland weird, Milepost 5 could become a model for sustainable arts communities.
And it's a really kind of a matter of us, the arts community, really combining our forces and just starting to be able to become more active.
It would take a commitment from the city in some way not just the city, but the state of Oregon to kick in and be involved, because this is our culture. These are the people that will continue and stay.
Portland is at a critical point in relation to its future. I think we have to be brave about, we have to be willing to endure some risk. I'm just kind of a regular guy who is interested in telling a good story and getting people to buy into that story. And I think that's what cities need to tell you. And I think if people come to Portland and they believe in that story and they want to be part of that story, and I think, I hope, you know, Milepost 5 is one of those stories.
So the students have been here for the past 7 weeks, learning. This is the first film for students. The students were here for the past 7 weeks, learning journalism tools, working with OPB. University of Oregon has been fantastic accrediting the program and also providing us space over their new White Stag building. And then they've also been talking to politicians. They've talked to Sam came in and spoke about his role with the media. We had Senator Kerry's communications director, a video conference with them. Josh Cardin, chief of staff for Senator Wyden, came in and spoke, and just about the interplay between media and politics. And the idea is students to make documentary pieces, audio, video documentary pieces that, again, highlight solutions that Portland is doing and potentially market those to other cities and, you know, say, hey, Minneapolis, Denver, San Francisco, here's some ideas that Portland is doing. Maybe you should check them out as well. We have a second documentary that we're going to show as well. All told, three documentaries were made. The second one is about the Day Laborer Center on across the river. The third documentary is about reintegrating prisoners into the workforce. Kendall Taggart, who is a student from Reed, is going to introduce the project that she worked on. And also, I just want to point out, Jacob Sherman is up here, and he's one of our students from last year's program and has been helping out this year.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your time. My name is Kendall Taggart, and I'll be starting my senior year at Reed this upcoming fall. Ryan, Emily, and I, who all made the film together, are really excited to show it to you this morning. As you know, the center is an incredible nexus of local and national debates. And I think in our film we figured out how to demonstrate at least part of the personality of the space and the people who regularly visit the space on a daily basis, as well as really trying to understand the way that Portland Center uniquely navigates those spheres between local and national issues. We'll be leaving copies of our DVD behind you, so if you think that you could use it for any of your projects, from your websites to other sources, I really hope that you will. And thank you so much. Here's our film.
It's a hard time to be an immigrant in this country. Immigration is a very easy thing that people can use as a wedge issue.
There's people who are coming almost every day to protest and harass day laborers. They don't have no protection at all.
This is the corner where day laborers used to wait for work.
It was sometimes unsafe because that specific corner where they were gathering before, when cars would slow down to actually enter his place of business, the workers would think that it was an employer, a potential employer, so they would swarm the car.
We need a bathroom, and that was a bathroom and was an issue. We asked the city, and they can provide us a bathroom, but nobody wants the bathroom in their property. So that was kind of the tension that came up.
In the past year, we had 3 day laborers die because they are working. In the construction. They fell down and died. Another one, he was working in the basement. Somehow the basement came down and took about 6 hours to take the body out.
I Ripa, señores. Ripa, señores.
Raffle time. Ripa, señores. Ripa. Woohoo! Ripa.
The Day Labor Center is a public health and safety program, and the Day Labor Center is to avoid the conflict between the business and to be out of the street and to be more ordered way and more dignified way to look for work in, instead of the street corners.
This is what we do. We put everybody in list. We ask if they speak English, if they have their own transportation, if they have tools, and what kind of skills they have. If we don't have anybody, because we do the raffle, but this is the ticket we give the day laborers. We give one to them, and we put one on this container. This really famous bear already. And here we got the information from the employee. In case they don't pay, we have lawyers that are ready to help us.
Yeah, agent.
I'm Pastor David Larson. I ask them to come and help clean up the weeds and the bushes and do the things on the side of the hills that I can't do. I think it's a little safer, and I think that the translators that are here can help me. There's confidence that if I say something, they're going to believe they're going to get paid, and it's going to be safe work, and that I care for their safety too. I think it's a good deal.
It's very easy for people to want to say that everyone who works at the Day Labor Center is undocumented or is Latino, and that's just not the case.
So there's so many reasons why people are on the street. Sometimes they get laid off on the job, so they come to the corner. There's even Americans, they even Asian guy, African Americans are on the street. I used to be a day laborer in Los Angeles, and some people, they have perception about day laborers. The perceptions are like drunks, drug dealers, criminals, illegals. How does that feel when somebody tells you, because you are brown or you are a short guy, tells you, you are a criminal? And you know yourself, you're not.
We're being very unrealistic to expect it to work like magic in only within less than 2 months. We wouldn't do that to any other issue. Why are we applying it here? It's falling victim to the whole overarching climate on immigration at this time. Despite how you feel about the issue of immigration, it's a practical issue. It is here. We all have a right to live and be safe in our community. And so that's really the basis for all of this.
This is not to solve the immigration issue. This is to protect workers. This is not only for one sector. It's good. It's the entire community benefit for the Day Labor Center.
Thank you for taking the time to watch the students' programs and their projects this evening. The students are going to screen all their projects as well as have their audio projects available at the White Stag Building, which is the Made in Oregon billboard building over on NATO and Burnside. And the students have been thrilled this summer to be here in Portland. 11 of the 12 students go to school elsewhere. Brown University, University of Wisconsin, McAllister, St. Olaf, from around the country. And it's been remarkable to watch them get to know Portland. And it's also been great to have all the different projects that City Hall and is promoting and working with and for the students to choose from to make their documentaries about. So thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thank you.
Great projects, great films, both of them. Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Carla, could you read the next item, 1120.
Appoint Scott Andrews to the Portland Development Commission for a term to expire August 12, 2011.
We have Mr. Andrews here. Or I see we have our PDC chair, Charles Wilhite.
I have a few remarks.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Commissioner Adams.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank Mayor Potter for inviting me to lead the selection process on this issue. We have two appointments on PDC to fill. This fills one of them. Please come forward, Scott. In considering an appointment, I sought nominations and advice from community members and public officials regarding qualified candidates as well as ideal qualifications. My goal was to find a candidate who complemented the considerable talents and expertise of Chair Wilhoit and Commissioners Ferran and Molis. Given these uncertain economic times and all the Portlanders who are counting on PDC to succeed at its job creation, business support, neighborhood revitalization, and housing efforts, we sought a candidate who would help in the execution of developments and development projects and who understood our region's strategic challenges and opportunities. I'm therefore pleased to present Scott Andrews to the Council as a nominee for the Portland Development Commission. Scott is the president of Melvin Mark Properties, a well-known Portland commercial real estate company with strong ties to commercial development and tenant services. He has been with Melvin Mark Properties, where he began as a leasing agent in 1978. So, welcome. Chair Wilhoit, would you like to make some comments?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Adams. Good morning, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish. I consider it an honor to be here this morning to provide a very strong endorsement in favor of the appointment of Scott Andrews to the Portland Development Commission. I have had the good fortune to work with Scott in numerous capacities over the last 7 to 8 years and have come to recognize him as a very well-reasoned and deliberate decision maker, and he is one of the most respected leaders in the city of Portland. And when I say leaders, people often want to categorize Scott as a business leader. He is that and much more. As indicated in his bio, you'll see he's been chairman of LifeWorks Northwest. He's been the chairman of the board of the Portland Business Alliance. He has worked with me in different capacities and supported the Urban League of Portland financially and personally. So when I look at Scott, I look at someone who's a leader, who's an effective decision maker. And while he is an Oregon Duck and I am an Arizona State Sun Devil, I think we can get past that and work through all of the issues we might face in the years ahead. But you hit the nail on the head, Commissioner Adams. Scott has the type of business expertise and experience that will do nothing but enhance the decision-making capacity and the quality of the decisions at PDC. And for these reasons, I offer a very strong endorsement of Scott, and I commend you for bringing him forward. I'll ask Scott if he'd like to say a few words.
Oh, thank you, Charles. It's a good thing you're not a Husky. Well, it is a real honor to be considered for this position. I'm sure that Sam received a lot of very qualified candidates' interest, and I'm flattered to be asked. First of all, let me tell you, I love Portland. I grew up here. I went to West Sullivan Grade School, Lincoln High School, University of Oregon. And then as a young adult, spent 3 years out of the city, a couple years in Klamath Falls and in Philadelphia, and I couldn't wait to come back. As soon as I did come back, I immediately jumped into nonprofit volunteer work. Pete Mark, my mentor, is a tremendous role model there, and he taught us well that you need to give back. I want Portland to be the best that it can be, a great place to live, to work, to bring up a family, and a place where our children can stay and find a family wage job if appropriate. And that wasn't the case 30 years ago. It was very, very difficult to find a job that you could make sense out of. We're doing better today. Our company has not needed PDC assistance since Crown Plaza was built almost 40 years ago. But I've had some involvement with the PDC process, and most recently as the leasing agent for One Waterfront Place. I'd like to bring my 30 years experience in development and finance to help PDC make the right decisions about projects, initiatives, and developers. I've served on a number of boards, as Charles has said, and had a number of leadership positions. I'm currently president of the Portland Mall Management, Inc. I'm still on the PBA board, although I'm not on the executive committee. I'm still on the board of the Oregon Sports Authority, and I also chair the Regional Business Plan Steering Committee, all of which, if you take a look, have some connection to economic development. My broad experience has given me the ability to work closely with both public and private agencies and organizations, and I've been told in the past that I've been helpful at building consensus and leading to successful results. Finally, I think PDC is extremely important to the economic well-building of the city, our neighborhoods, and the region, and I want to make it all it can be as well. Thank you.
Scott, I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. Your resume includes various capacities that I think someone who might have only read about your more visible public involvement on economic development issues, but LifeWorks Northwest, the Cystic Fibrosis, the Portland Youth Soccer Association. Talk to me about maybe tell us a little bit about why you're passionate about programs, let's say, like LifeWorks or Cystic Fibrosis.
Well, much of my nonprofit volunteer career for the last 8 or 9 years has been aimed at business and club organizations. And I started off with CF, and I really enjoyed it. And when I was approached by Roger Yost, I knew nothing about LifeWorks Northwest, but I was leaving the position at PBA as chair, and I thought I would have more time. And it's really been terrific because it's introduced me to a whole new population and set of problems and ideas, and it's been really exciting. I think if you talk to them, you'd find that I've been helpful in a number of ways dealing with a whole bunch of issues. LifeWorks is much like a Cascadia, basically provides mental health services, and most of the contracting is through the counties. So Cascadia is not the only one that's had trouble dealing with the funding issues, and it's just been a great experience. I want to be able to help out on, all aspects of the needs of Portland.
And then if you'd stay there, we have one other invited testifier. If Gail Castillo had come forward, she's a former commissioner on the Portland Development Commission, so she knows what you're getting into. She's also the president and CEO of one of the most successful local chambers of commerce, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And she asked to say a few things today. In reference to your nomination.
Thank you for allowing me to say a few words, commissioners. I am here to support Scott Andrews and his nomination to the Portland Development Commission. I think, as it's already been stated before, Scott brings a tremendous background and experience in Oregon and really understands the very complex business issues facing Portlanders, as demonstrated by some of the testimony this morning on some of the small business issues. In addition, I think he has strong community experience working, as we say, for the greater good of all Portlanders. And that's really what I think we really need in our public leadership, is rather than working for individual concerns, working for the greater good. And I see that in Scott. The Hispanic Chamber supports his nomination. We look forward to working with him and the other commissioners to address some of the issues that we're very concerned about, and that is increasing home ownership for all communities, addressing some of the small business issues that affect not only our community but other communities, and raising the equity of families, and that is done, as you know, through home ownership and so through business ownership and other issues. So we look forward to working closer with him and the commissioners, other commissioners as well. And again, we support his nomination.
And I just want to thank you, and we brought together leaders from the various aspects of the business community and social justice and housing community, organizations that have an interest in the mission of PDC as part of our pre-screening process. So I want to thank you for helping to grill Scott and some other applicants through that process.
Thank you.
If I could, Scott, thanks for agreeing to serve. I appreciated the time that you and I had a chance to spend to visit. Also, Charles, the time we had to visit. And, you and I share a passion for youth soccer. And I'm delighted at your commitment to substantial resources from PDC and to upgrading our facilities for our kids. I was also impressed that you had served on the board of Planned Parenthood and had your advocacy, the breadth of your advocacy in our community. But I want to just go back to housing as the housing commissioner, because while the broad mission of the PDC is, in fact, economic development, you also have this vital partnership with the city in terms of implementing our vision around housing, And Gail's right. A mature housing policy includes housing for the poorest of the poor, workforce housing, and increasing home ownership opportunities. And we understand and respect that there's an appropriate balance. But you're a critical partner. So I just want to reiterate what you and I talked about privately, which is that we will be looking to your leadership on the commission to help us move our housing agenda at the city. And thank you for your service.
Would you like to introduce your family?
I don't know if they'd like me to, but they're sitting
maybe
in
they
back
could just
here.
Maybe they could just stand.
Well,
so we
they
can
could
see.
Stand. The light blue shirt is Peter. The burgundy shirt is Paul. My wife, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Thank you for letting him serve.
Yeah. Okay. Is there anybody?
Now I'm going to catch it from my kids at home because they didn't get introduced when I came in.
Bring them by anytime, and we'll. Make sure they get introduced. Is there anybody signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
So we'll call the roll.
Adams?
Well, again, thank you for your willingness to serve, and I look forward to working with you. Aye.
Fish?
Ditto. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm delighted to welcome Scott Andrews to the PDC board. I think to me, Scott is what I call a true diplomat. And, in the finest sense of the word, he is so often, he's also a cheerleader for downtown, and that doesn't hurt either. But I've found him to be a good diplomat on many issues that I've been involved with in the past that, may be at odds or appear to be at odds with the business community. And I've also found him unafraid to roll up his sleeves and get involved to help solve issues. So I'm very pleased that you're going to be joining the PDC Commission, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, please read the next item, 1122 or 1121.
Direct the Office of Management and Finance to develop a last chance month-to-month rental agreement with Douglas G. Peterson Investments, Inc. for the city-owned property at 922 South West Morrison Street that would entail specific public safety requirements at all downtown Peterson locations within 15 days.
We just lost our quorum, but I assume I'll go ahead. Okay, I'm going to go ahead.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
She's back.
Okay. Over the past month, I've been in communication with many of the involved parties concerning Peterson's stores in downtown Portland, three of them. I've met with Mr. Peterson, I've met with the Central Precinct Commander, and I have met with the Downtown Neighborhood Association as well. And many appreciate what a 24-hour downtown convenience store brings to our city. After all, we strive to be a city that is a 24-hour city. But there are also concerns about the element that has been attracted to these stores and that create a risk to the public's safety. This resolution sets forward a set of conditions for all three of Mr. Peterson's stores, and will address those risks by, among other things, eliminating the sale of single malt liquors, providing 24-hour security at the Morrison store, and cooperating in prosecutions and trespass and other issues. Having said that, though, it ultimately is up to Mr. Peterson and his employees to make sure that these conditions, which will become a part of the lease, are met to the satisfaction of the Central Precinct Commander. This is a last chance agreement, and the conditions, if they are not met, the lease will be terminated for the downtown or for the Morrison store. It is my hope that we're turning a new leaf here and that the relationship between our law enforcement bodies and Peterson's downtown stores, as well as the neighborhood involvement, will be a constructive one that leads to information sharing and a safer downtown for Portlanders. I would like to thank Central Precinct Commander Reese of the Central Precinct and the Mayor's Office, the Deputy District Attorney for Downtown, and William Warren of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, who covers downtown, for providing me with the conditions that are now, if we pass this resolution, will become part of the lease. So I'd now like to call up Mr. Doug Peterson, I think we have a Central Precinct Sergeant here. I'm going to let you pronounce your own name when you get up here. William Warren from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And do we have Dan Friedman from the Downtown Neighborhood Association? Okay. I think we can fit all four of you if you just pull up a chair. Yeah. So let me start with you, Sergeant. Could you first of all pronounce your name for us?
It's Cliff Bacigalupi.
Bacigalupi, okay.
I tell people it's just like it sounds.
Bacigalupi, okay. Well, I guess what I'd like, you may have something prepared you want to say, but I wanted to start by just establishing that, and William Warren from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement can join me on this, but the eight conditions contained in this resolution arose out of a meeting I had with Central Commander Reese and simply said, what conditions would you, the neighborhood district attorney, and Oney like to see in a lease to your satisfaction to keep them going? And that those eight conditions in this resolution are, in fact, the ones that Commander Reese forwarded to me. Yes.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And okay. I'm coming into the middle of this, first of all. Good morning, Commissioners. And
sure. I should say Commander Reese is on vacation.
He is. I'm your default guy here. Mark Friedman was also going to come and speak, and he's on vacation. But I'm not. So, at any rate, I am coming in on the middle of this.
Can you get the microphone?
Yeah.
As close as...
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
I don't know if it's going to move. Yeah, I think you'll have to move closer, Sergeant.
I can scoot over
to Mr. Peterson, and
I can scoot over.
So I'm coming in on the middle of this. I do understand that at this point, we've discussed all the statistical data and kind of I don't think there's any secret as to what the issues are surrounding this. And so with that said, we do, the Police Bureau looks forward to working with Doug Peterson and hopefully coming together to make his business viable and productive and at the same time responsible to the other businesses around it. I do have a prepared statement. If it's okay, I'll just read this real briefly. And Peterson's, in the past, there's been an undeniable excess of problems in front of the store at 9th and Morrison, including fights, aggressive panhandling, drug use, sales, and has become a congregating point for problematic people. Independent of the fact that there is a max stop in front of his store. With that said, many businesses along the max lines operate without the persistent problem set that impacts Peterson's and affects its ability to be a viable and healthy downtown business. These problems did not creep up overnight, and to this point, there's been a pervasive lack of cooperation from Peterson's in actively solving some of the problems that face his store. It is only now that facing closure, we are at the point where hopefully there will be the cooperation that we would have hoped for all along. With this said, the Portland Police Bureau looks forward to a productive relationship with Mr. Peterson to help his business be responsible as well as successful. The success of small business in Portland is important to a vibrant downtown, and the Portland Police Bureau is mindful of that fact. This resolution is comprehensive, and we do hope for strict adherence to the conditions being placed on Peterson's. In closing, I do wish Mr. Peterson success, and I hope that this resolution fosters a positive working relationship between Mr. Peterson and the City of Portland.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd now like to ask Mr. Peterson, you may have a statement you wish to make, but I want to run through the conditions and, as we've done previously, and hear you on the record say that you're going to comply with these conditions. The first condition is that cooperation with the District Attorney's Office on prosecutions stemming from crimes committed at all Peterson stores downtown.
Yes.
Your compliance. Okay. Number two, no sales of individually packaged malt alcohol beverages or single cigarettes?
Yes.
Okay. Number three, report to the Police Bureau and Downtown Clean and Safe anyone engaged in illegal behavior in front of or inside all Peterson stores downtown?
Yes.
Okay. Number four, post rules of conduct for convenience store customers and trespass of anyone not following these rules.
Yes.
Number five, provide on-site security at the 922 Southwest Morrison Street location when open.
Yes.
Number six, the owner, store manager, and security shall attend a monthly meeting with police, the deputy district attorney, and the Office of Neighborhood Office of Neighborhood Involvement Crime Prevention staff to address public safety concerns at each of Peterson's stores downtown.
Yes, and I'm very much looking forward to the communication.
Number seven, compliance with all county and state public health regulations.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, number eight, creation of and compliance with a good neighbor agreement with the Downtown Neighborhood Association within 3 months.
Yes, absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm. And you further understand that if any of these stipulations are violated in the eyes of the Central Precinct Commander, he or she has the sole authority to ask our General Services Division to begin these terminations.
I understand, yes. Okay.
Great, thank you. Did you have anything you
would say? I'd just like to thank Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish, Mayor-elect Sam Adams for their faith that I can do this and I will do this, and their faith in small business, and thank you very much.
Mr. Peterson, also, Commissioner Saltzman's gone through the conditions in the resolution, but I also want to, on the record, confirm that prior to our consideration of this matter, through your counsel, you've notified us that you've withdrawn your tort claim notice, is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
William, did you want to add anything?
I'll defer to the Neighborhood Association, then, okay. If I may speak towards the end.
Sure.
Commissioner, thank you.
Okay, Dan, would you just give us your name and then...
Okay. I'm Daniel Friedman, and I'm representing the Downtown Neighborhood Association today, and we're very appreciative of the efforts that the commissioners have made. This doesn't seem like a momentous matter, but it does affect the quality of life downtown for reasons that I testified about in the earlier in the past. And this seems to us an example of some real Portland-style problem solving and a flexible and creative solution that may make it possible both for downtown to retain this 24-hour amenity that helps contribute to a live-work community downtown, and at the same time to improve the safety and the perception of comfort at the Galleria Max platform. So we really appreciate your efforts, the fact that you took this seriously and were flexible and creative in crafting a solution. And also we want to thank the Police Bureau and the city office that deals with facilities, because I realize that this isn't their preferred solution, but they've been cooperative and helpful in trying to reach a resolution.
Thank you. William?
William Warren with the City of Portland Office of Neighborhood Involvement Crime Prevention Program, and since the end of February, responsible for downtown, Old Town, and Chinatown neighborhoods. This is terrific, and I'm really happy that, through your work, Commissioner Saltzman and the other commissioners, that we've been able to broker this kind of agreement. The one thing that's traditional to GNAs through ONI, but I know this one's a little bit different, is that also involved in the regular meetings and the development of this, but particularly with the regular meetings, would be representatives of the respective neighborhood association, in this instance, Portland Downtown Neighborhood Association, and respective representatives from the property owners wherever commercial property has their business. In this instance, we know that clearly one landlord is the city, but for Mr. Peterson's other two locations, I don't know who those landlords are. So that's the only other thing I would offer for your consideration.
Okay.
And business district.
And business district, yes. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay. Thanks for that information. Okay, and I was going to just add that I will personally be convening the first monthly meeting with Mr. Peterson and ONI Crime Prevention and police and others. So, well, thank you all. Do we have anybody signed up to testify?
We have one person signed up, Tom Winning.
Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
just keep it with you.
Mm-hmm. Hello, gentlemen. My name is Tom Winning. I'm from Southeast Portland. I would like to address your discriminatory approach to nuisance properties. This has to do with Peterson's, it has to do with Greek Casino, and it has to do with the Bowes Day Labor Site on Northeast Portland. The Bowes Day Labor Site was set up to provide a safe place for day laborers. They do not check identity. They don't even ask for these people's name. I've been assaulted there a total of 3 times by 4 different people, everything from being shoved, spit on, and having hot coffee thrown on my head. I'd like to particularly address the first person who assaulted me. He showed up on the day this place opened, and he was interviewed by Coin TV. He gave his name as Roderick Reynolds. And he was there that day. I saw him on July 3rd, and on July 7th, he came out of LeBeau's day labor site and assaulted me. I didn't see him again until 2 weeks ago when I called the police. He went to LeBeau's day labor site, and they wouldn't let him in, but at the same time, they did not call the police and say, the guy's here, come and get him. I saw him again this last Monday. I called the police on him, and the police pulled him over. He had just been picked up by 2 Somali women. The police got him out of the car, interviewed him, and he said he told them all kinds of lies, gave him a fake Social Security number. Turns out this guy's a wanted felon from the state of Washington. He's wanted for parole violation. If you're a criminal, where are you going to go to get a job? You're going to go to LeBeau's Day Labor Site. They don't ask for ID. They don't even ask your name. You gentlemen are currently being sued because of the assaults on me and because of setting up this day labor site with $200,000 of Portland City funds. If the film you just saw on LeBeau's Day Labor Site said that it's taking people off the street corners and bringing them there, that's not true. The workers on the street corner are still there, probably in greater numbers than they were the day the LeBeau's labor site was there. Last time I was there from 6:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning. Not one person pulled into the LeBeau's day labor site. And this place is being passed off as a great benefit to the city of Portland. Baloney. You're putting the people, citizens of Portland, at risk by opening this place up and not checking people's IDs. You're putting yourselves and city funds at risk by lawsuits. If somebody accidentally or intentionally hurts or kills somebody, you are liable. The city of Portland is liable. Thank you.
We have one more person who wished to speak.
Okay.
Lee Lacey.
Welcome, Lee. If you could just give us your name. You have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Lee Lacey. I live in downtown Portland. I'll speak as clearly as I can, even though I do have some health issues. I would like to speak in support of this neighborhood agreement between the city of Portland and Mr. Peterson. I got to know Mr. Peterson many years back via our meetings with the Association for Portland Progress and the Downtown Retail Council, both of which, of course, are no longer present in promoting downtown Portland. They've been replaced by other organizations. But during that time, I grew to know Mr. Peterson and know him to be an honorable person, and I have every reason to believe that he will live up to the commitment that he has made this morning with regard to his Morrison Street store. I personally have had some assistance from Mr. Peterson when I was head of the Neighborhood Association here in downtown. We would have periodic neighborhood clean-up programs to clean up certain areas of the port, and I would have to attract volunteers to this unattractive activity on a Saturday, and one way I was able to get volunteers to help with these neighborhood cleanups was to tell them that they would get a free beverage from Mr. Peterson's store on Morrison Street at the conclusion of these neighborhood cleanup efforts. And it was a successful program in the past regarding Mr. Peterson's civic involvement And I have no reason to believe that the future will also be as successful and productive as his association has been in the past. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lee. Thank you. Anybody else wish to testify? Okay, Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for his efforts on this matter, and I like the concrete nature of the agreement and that single individual is responsible for determining whether this agreement has been lived up to or not. So I wish Mr. Peterson well, and we'll work hard to do our part to make this agreement successful. Aye.
Fish.
Dan, thanks for your leadership on this, and I was pleased to co-sponsor the resolution. This resolution offers one final chance for Peterson's Market to demonstrate that they are a good neighbor business in downtown Portland. I believe the terms of the revised month-to-month rental agreement are tough but fair, and Mr. Peterson has publicly agreed in writing and here to abide by all the conditions. I'm supporting this resolution because I think it strikes a balance between some needed tough love, accountability, and recognition that this business does face some special challenges by virtue of its location. The city's medium-term plans are to redevelop the 10th and Yamhill site. In the meantime, I think we have a special duty to try to preserve the downtown jobs that are at issue here. I want to also, though, acknowledge a comment Mary Lou made in her remarks earlier when she quoted an assistant manager from Brooks Brothers who said, and I will quote directly, "I fail to see why a disgusting store such as Peterson's is allowed to stay open. They cater to the dregs of the streets of our city." I certainly hope that that does not reflect the official corporate policy of Brooks Brothers. And I would remind the individual who sent this inflammatory email to the mayor that the so-called dregs that he's referring to include homeless veterans. In this country, we have between 150 and 200,000 people who served our country honorably and who are now homeless. And I think it is a sad day when we use disparaging language to characterize people who, through no fault of their own, seek refuge on the streets. Again, Dan, thank you for your leadership on this. I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to acknowledge the work of Mayor Potter's office and the police bureau, and you know, I know Mayor Potter opposes this solution, but I think and I want to thank my colleagues here for I think supporting the idea that supporting the concept of one shot, one more shot at redemption, and that's really what we have here. And I think some of the without getting into who said what and where, I think there are some legitimate concerns about public safety, about the Peterson store, particularly the one on Southwest Morrison. But I'm also concerned about the public safety of that whole half block going dark if Peterson's were to lose their lease today. And I think that that's a legitimate public safety concern as well. I mean, God knows the last thing Portland needs is another empty storefront right now. We have plenty of them, I think, in the two-block stretch between 9th and 11th on Morrison. I was out there last Friday night. I think I counted about seven empty storefronts in that two-block section. But I'm also sensitive to the fact that there are nine people employed at Peterson's store, and those jobs are meaningful jobs, and especially to those people who have those jobs, and it's not a good time to be looking for work, and this is worth saving those jobs too. And I'm convinced my conversations with Mr. Peterson, I think as others said, he is an honorable person. I think he has assured me that he is prepared to spend the money and the vigilance to make sure that this agreement works. And if it doesn't work, we will know quickly, and the consequences will be the loss of the lease at the Morrison store. So I welcome the solution. As I said, I will be convening the first monthly meeting shortly. And I thank my colleagues again and vote aye.
Could we move to 1124?
There's been a request we move to 1124. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Oh, okay, well.
Carla, can you do 1124, and then we'll come back to 1122 and 23?
Sure. 1124, affirm council's intent to follow existing procedures to evaluate street renaming requests as prescribed by Portland City Code, Chapter 17.93.
Mr. Adams.
Mr. President, members of the City Council, gathered guests, renaming a street is inherently controversial. A name that might seem irrelevant to some can be profoundly important to others. Pragmatic concerns as well arise. A street name change can impact businesses that establish their identities in relation to the street upon which they are located. And in a world that pulses at an ever-increasing pace, many take comfort in things that remain consistent, like the lane we live on or the arterial we travel to work. Like most cities across the nation, Portland has experienced this tension. The Portland City Council decision in 1989 to rename Union Avenue for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. elicited controversy. A 2007 proposal to rename Interstate Avenue engendered substantial community opposition. While controversy appears inevitable, it is the City Council's job to ensure a fair and transparent process to look at applications which seek to rename a street is in place and followed. As most of you know, we've struggled with that. In 1989, Council had no formal policy for considering a street name change. Following the Union Avenue, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. experience, Council adopted a policy that remains on the books today. Since 1989, Portlanders have proposed to rename three streets, and in each case, Council has failed to follow its own policy. In 1996, a portion of Southwest Front Avenue was renamed Nato Parkway to honor civic leader Bill Nato and his family. Portland Boulevard in North Northeast Portland was renamed Rosa Parks Way in 2005. And in 2007, citizens sought to rename North Interstate Avenue for American civil rights leader Cesar Chavez. It's no wonder that citizens have expressed frustration and rightly wondered whether council can follow its own rules. Today's resolution says we can and we will. At the moment, the Office of Transportation has received two renaming proposals. One proposes to rename 42nd Avenue for author Douglas Adams, who's the author of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Another seeks to rename a street to be determined for Cesar Chavez. Transportation has received each proposal, and renaming advocates are now responsible for completing the application process, the initial application process, which includes review by a historian panel and the Planning Commission before it comes to the City Council for final determination. Before us today is a resolution committing that the City Council will follow the process outlined in the code and nominating three members to a panel who will be responsible for making a determination as to the appropriateness of proposed street name changes and its compliance with the criteria for selecting a new street name and a determination as to the historical significance of the street to be renamed. This is important work and work that we on council can appreciate. Every one of these committee members have skills that the city will rely upon, not the least of which are the experience with public involvement, legal interpretation, and leadership. So today I'm pleased to nominate Willamette University Law Professor Gilbert Paul Carrasco, Oregon National Guard Brigadier General Michael Caldwell, and Kathy Furstenow, who is the president of the Coley Neighborhood Association, to serve as members of the historian panel for 12 months. Both Kathy and Michael could not make it today, but Professor, if you'd please come forward, and I apologize for making you wait. Hopefully you saw a little bit of democracy in action here today. It's kind of a lively day. So thank you for being here, and I want to thank you for your willingness to serve. And you know, this is probably one of the more difficult appointments in terms of the controversial nature of the task that we can give any citizens that advise us on decisions. And I just want to thank you for your willingness to do that. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, and maybe there are some questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams, and the other distinguished commissioners of the City Council. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the confidence placed in me to serve on the Historical Commission and undertake the